Our final question this morning for Coach Whittingham will come from Hans Olsen.
Well, Coach, you kind of answered my question. I was going to say, I'm not interested in a name. Just curious if there is a quarterback that is really separating themselves through the spring, through 4 weeks.
Charlie Brewer, hands down. He's been everything we hoped he'd be to this point. He's a proven vet. I mean, he's got a lot of experience under his belt at the Power 5 level. He's thrown for a ton of yards and won a bunch of games. And so that's what we expected. And so far, he's been exactly what we had expected. And as he continues to digest and assimilate the offense, he gets better and better. And it's going to be a great battle between him and Cam this fall because they're two outstanding quarterbacks.
He didn't even ask for a name. He gave it to you anyway.
I know. It was weird because the question before he was they didn't even ask about the quarterback. And I had got myself, you know, in the queue and just wanted to know about the quarterback situation. I was just going to ask him. I was going to say, no names, just tell me. Do you have one that's separating? But he had mentioned Charlie's name unsolicited. And then
it's almost like he really wanted it to get out there.
He did.
He wanted the team to know who's the guy going into summer.
Well, you heard the way he answered it. He's like, oh, Charlie Brewer. Hands down. So that tells you
Maybe that's the name of your band. Hands down.
Oh, I thought the Charlie Brewer brand. Hands down?
Yeah. Because we had Hands Free and Hands Solo.
I like Hands Down.
I like the Hands Solo. Because I think it really described.
It crashed and burned for good reason.
Describe what I had to do in order to survive.
You ditched us.
I didn't ditch anybody. You guys ditched me. You kicked me out.
You thought you could be better by yourself.
And you saw the fame. You guys think you're so cute with your Hands Free, band name. So ridiculous. How'd that go? Once I left the band, how'd that go?
All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to get us off the rails. It's seemingly Charlie Brewer's job to lose. And if I'm... You know, if I'm looking across the board, I'm a quarterback up there. I'm like, whew, I got to be ready for fall, or I'm not going to have any shot at this thing.
And I was asking the question, why did Charlie Brewer leave Baylor when it could become the all-time great at Baylor? You know, he only won two games last year.
Maybe that's it.
Virginia beat him, Texas beat him, TCU beat him, Iowa State beat him, Texas Tech beat him.
Wells got him.
Oklahoma beat him. Oklahoma State beat him. They got beat up. And
it's not like they played four or five games either. They got a lot of games in.
Got plenty of games in. The only wins they got was Kansas State by a point, beat him 32-31, and Kansas at the end of the year. That was it.
Those aren't the two. Those aren't two big teams there in the Big 12 either.
No. No, that was the bottom of the barrel that they got a win against. And then, obviously, much better in 2019. Their 2019 season, he was stellar. Only one loss in the regular season. Actually, two losses, both to Oklahoma.
So maybe that's where it's coming from.
Because they played Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game and lost in overtime. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then played Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. So that was their run to the Sugar Bowl. And here he is, his senior year, and he wants to kind of get a fresh look. I wonder if he looked at the weapons, the targets around him, and the losses that they had last year and thought, well, my defense can't keep pace. I'm going to have a ton of weight put on me. I don't have any targets. I wonder if that played into him moving on. But I'm looking at some of the numbers, Scotty, that he put up in just his sophomore season. He had 400 yards against number 6 Oklahoma as a sophomore.
Wow.
400 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Now, Oklahoma still beat him because Oklahoma's offense was a juggernaut that year. But he had 300 yards against Kansas State. He had 308 yards against Texas Tech his sophomore year, 328 yards against Texas San Antonio. Charlie Brewer, in those 3 years, 2018, 2019, and even last year, he's got some incredible numbers and in some incredible games. Maybe he just wanted more security. I try to read into why he left. Maybe the negativity of all the losses last season is what pushed him to leave. But Utah's lucky to have him. These coaches are really excited about him.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that you're looking at an opportunity for a fresh start. A team that you know is going to have great defense, you know is going to be able to hopefully run the ball fairly well. And when I think when he committed, obviously I think Ty Jordan was still with us. So he's thinking, I've got a great running back. I've got a great system. Defense is always really good. I can step in. Pac-12 isn't nearly as good as the Big 12. I can come in here and maybe there wasn't a lot of faith in Dave Aranda and what they're building out there at Baylor, and said, look, I want to win and I want to compete for a championship. And I think I can do that right away at the University of Utah. And he probably saw what was going on with the quarterback situation last year and goes, look, I can step in. I can get this job pretty easily.
Oh, I'm sure there was a sense that was an opening, an available spot to go play in the Pac-12. I think that this gives us a pretty solid answer, though, that Charlie Brewer, by all accounts, and Cam Rising is going to be back and he's going to be participating in fall camp.
Yeah.
But I think this gives us a pretty good idea, by most accounts, that Charlie Brewer will start game one.
I would be shocked if that's not the case.
Because Kyle Whittingham was very, very forward with that. I also asked Kyle Whittingham about having 120 guys in camp and how much of a hassle that's been.
You still have to be within your 20 hours, which we are, but more reps on the field for the excess of guys, and it seems to have worked out very well. Now there's a lot of the vets that have played a lot of good football for us, have not gotten as many reps as the younger guys, but that's by design, and that's pretty much the case every spring. You got a handful of guys that have played a lot of football for you that just don't need the amount of reps that some of the younger guys do. So it's been about the same dose. We just have more reps to go around because of the more bigger volume of numbers.
Is that a problem?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because you're already going to limit reps for your veterans through spring. Of course, they're limited on veterans. I know they've got a lot of returners, but you're going to limit those reps, try to keep guys healthy. What I think that this does is gives you an opportunity to put together good-look squads, get good, fresh reps for guys. I think it helps you look at potential depth if you can find a diamond in the rough. And you just have to be more organized as a coach. You know, Scotty, we've heard Kalani Sitake talk about that when he had extended numbers, and we've heard Kyle Whittingham talk about that. You really have to be more organized. There can't be any gaps kind of left planned out during your 20 hours. Everything is going to be very structured so that you can get the numbers in. Because think about this, Scotty, you go back to your time playing the game and practices, those minutes in one-on-ones are so critical. And if you've got, let's say you've got, my guess is probably somewhere around 13 to 15 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And then somewhere around 15 to 18 defensive linemen. And you're trying to get those guys reps in one-on-ones. And you know how long it takes to get a rep and then move on down. And those are so critical in spring ball. That would slow you down. Some guys just aren't going to get reps. Whether it's a veteran that doesn't need them as much, or it's a walk-on that you've already seen you've made a mistake, giving them a preferred walk-on, but then really dropping those reps on the right guys. And you've got to trust that they're finding the right guys to drop those reps on.
Yeah.
I also think that leads to what should set up as a really fun spring game next weekend.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. By the way, I think Utah State's having their spring game the same day. I really think that will set up a really good opportunity for people to get a good view as to what this team's going to look like next year.
Did Utah State deal with inflated numbers?
I believe they did. They lost a lot, though. You know what? That's a good question. I'll reach out. I'll find out on that one.
I'm curious what they've got going on up there with the transfers that have come in and freshmen that have come in and walk-ons that they've brought in. It's just been a very different spring. And just the back channels, just talking to people that know what's going on at Utah spring ball, there's a good amount of optimism. But I will tell you that every time I ask them about the talent returning for the University of Utah, there's always the quick comment of, yeah, but everybody's got their talent coming back.
Yeah.
That's the conversation always turns to that. Well, yeah, but everybody's got their talent coming back. Everybody's got juniors with an extended year. Everybody's got seniors that can return. And for the most part, if guys aren't making the league in the Pac-12, they're coming back to play another year.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, if a guy wasn't good enough to make the league as a senior, then maybe he's just not good enough. Well, there are great college football players that never get a sniff of the pro game that could come back for another year and do a lot of damage. Trying to remember the player that was, what was he, the Big Ten or Big 12 player of the year. It was a defensive end or maybe an outside linebacker, specialty player. Was all everything college football and either got picked as Mr. Irrelevant in like the seventh round or didn't get picked at all and dropped out as
Sam. Yeah.
That's him.
Yep.
And dropped out as a free agent. Like, was he a free agent or just a...
He did get picked. I think it was Tennessee who picked him in late in the seventh round. It was a seventh round pick. I mean, it was a last round pick.
Okay. So that happens. A guy like Jan Jorgensen.
Yeah.
You know, think of Jan Jorgensen as a senior getting another year as a senior. Well, that's going to be happening a lot. And so everybody's going to have packed talent. So I don't look at Utah's roster and the guys returning and say, oh, they've got a unique, distinct advantage. I look at the Pac-12 and everybody returning thinking, oh, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be a very crowded division, a very crowded conference.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a significant amount of talent coming back. And it'll balance out, but I still think when it's all said and done, when Media Day rolls around, whether it's in person or virtual again, I still think Utah will be picked. I don't know, USC will always be picked number one because they seem to always be picked number one in the preseason. Mm-hmm. But I think Utah will probably be, I don't know, Arizona State. Would you take Arizona State over them?
My guess is Utah is going to be anywhere from 2 to 3.
That's my thought. It won't be outside of 3.
Mm. I'll add this too, though, because I do think, and I don't know every other 11 team in the conference, but I do think it's very unique that the University of Utah didn't even have a pro day. My guess is all 11 other teams in the Pac-12 would have had a pro day. It's my guess. Somebody, you would think that every one of the teams is sending somebody to the NFL, and Utah is not, because the guys that were eligible decided to come back. Two in particular, Brent Keithy and Devin Lloyd, decided to come back.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times where you see, and this is how it gets really funny sometimes between fan bases, but a pro day smack where they're like, oh, you guys don't have any. Well, yeah, that was a good thing for Utah. Mm-hmm. That's because all the pro prospects are coming back for another year.
Yeah, you could throw Nick Ford into that category. You could even throw maybe Max Tupai or Mika Tafua, even though they didn't have the best shortened season. I'm hoping for a lot more from both of them this upcoming season. But there were some guys that were eligible, that were draftable,
yeah,
that just removed their names.
So by that rationale?
Maybe they do have a slight advantage.
I think Utah's got all their horses coming back, and that bodes well for Utah coming up next season.
Well, I think we'll all pay really close attention to the draft that is nearing, and we'll see which Pac-12 teams are dumping players in, which Pac-12 teams are having guys drafted, and which don't even get their name announced. like the University of Utah.
I mean, this will be the first year.
Oh, in a lot of years.
And I don't know.
Kyle Whittingham's time, I think.
Yeah, that Utah will not have anybody drafted. And that's because they're all coming back.
I can't recall a year that Kyle Whittingham has not. He's had 52 players drafted.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever been shut out before. I mean, I'm sure somebody will tell us we're wrong, but I do not remember a year where Utah did not have anybody drafted. But it's going to happen this year.
Yeah, it definitely happened this year. Everybody's kind of withdrawn and backed away from it. So Utah spring ball, it seems to be going pretty darn good. And for Kyle Whittingham to be able to identify the standout quarterback. And Lloyd, for those that are just tuning in, let's play that cut one more time. This is Kyle Whittingham talking about the quarterbacks and really just naming Charlie Brewer. The first one, Lloyd, coming in. This is me asking Kyle Whittingham about the quarterback situation, and listen to his response.
Charlie Brewer, hands down. He's been everything we hoped he'd be to this point. He's a proven vet. I mean, he's got a lot of experience under his belt at the Power 5 level. He's thrown for a ton of yards and won a bunch of games. And so that's what we expected. And so far, he's been exactly what we had expected. And as he continues to digest and assimilate the offense, he gets better and better. And it's going to be a great battle between him and Cam this fall because they're two outstanding quarterbacks.
So, Scotty, if you asked me what did Utah need to get out of this spring ball, one of the top three answers to that question would be identifying your quarterback.
Yeah.
And now he said it's going to be an interesting battle between Cam and Charlie come this fall.
It won't.
It probably won't. It seems like there's a pretty significant distance right now with Charlie Brewer and where he stands in the coaches' minds. Oh, by the way, they talked to, we had an opportunity to talk to a couple tight ends, and Brant Keithy was very specific about Brewer's ability to put that ball in areas that were very unique.
Interesting.
And the tight ends have been extremely pleased with how Charlie Brewer targets them and how he uses the tight end. And not only that, but how he puts the ball where it needs to be.
Would you say there's a different vibe up there versus last spring? I'm talking about like the quarterbacks.
Like before,
like it feels different.
Before spring COVID was canceled?
Yes, before. I mean, that was short.
It was very short.
I know we can't see anything. But the vibe from the coaches talking and what you're hearing, you know, it just seems, it feels like a little bit different.
Well, we didn't have the time for somebody to own it. And I think that at the end of that, I think Cam Rising would have owned it. Remember, we waited all through spring, or sorry, all through fall camp to understand that Cam Rising owned it, even though within the first week I started to kind of call and project that. It felt like Cam Rising was separating himself. But, yeah, it's a different feel to have Charlie Brewer kind of owning it the way he's owning it right now.
I didn't get the feeling last year that – I thought there was a feeling that they were worried about Bentley. There wasn't a feeling of depth.
Well, they never backed him. They never promoted him.
No, that feeling just was not there. It just feels a little bit different, like they have a little bit more depth here.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. As we get you ready for the good, the bad, the ugly coming up next. Also, David Locke will join us coming up at high noon right here on the Zone Sports Network, as this segment brought to you in part by SNS Roofing. The huge winter and spring sales event is going on now, where you can save thousands on a new roof. Call #250 and say SNS Roofing for your free bid. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Joining us now is the 2003 Masters winner, Mike Weir. How much extra does the adrenaline get going and the heart start pumping when you're driving down Magnolia Lane and all that stuff, knowing that you're going to play in the Masters?
It's definitely extra. And, you know, as a kid growing up in Canada, you know, we had fairly similar climates here as Utah. And when spring's here, the Masters is here, and be able to play in it and been lucky enough to win it, I still get chilled every time I get there. And the first time you drive down Magnolia Lane for the week, a lot of things come flooding back and a lot of excitement, anticipation, you know, in the air. It's an exciting time.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, all brought to you by Zero Res. Spring is here on a day like this. You got the kids, you got the pets, you got everybody else dragging dirt and gunk and snow into the house. It's been going on for months. Now's the time to get those carpets clean. Call Zero Res right now. Get a room clean for just $33 per room. 801-288-9376. That's the number to call, 801-288-9376.
So, a funny moment yesterday in Jeopardy. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay quarterback, hosting it. And they're down to the very final parts of the show.
Yep.
And Scott, who is a reigning two-day champion, was put on the spot with a question on daytime TV personalities. Well, Scotty, this contestant, had no idea what the answer was.
Yeah.
So this was the exchange between him and Aaron Rodgers.
Over to our two-day champion on the end. Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect, and you're going to lose 0. Thank you for that, and congrats on your two-day win streak.
So that goes back to January during the NFC Championship game, and Packers coach Matt LaFleur, he opted to kick a field goal on fourth and goal, even though they were down by 8 points. And then, of course, Tom Brady gets the ball back and burns out the clock.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, wait a second, why did you kick a field goal? You needed 8 points. There's no way you're kicking that back to Tampa Bay. And, of course, that decided who went in and got a chance at that Super Bowl. And this guy, I thought it was funny. I mean, maybe I'm a dork.
No, I thought it was really funny.
Who decided to kick the field goal? And Aaron Rodgers said that should actually be a correct answer, but it is not. Thought I had the correct answer, but I did not.
I'm not going to lie. There was some, I can't remember. I said it last night. And, you know, I was saying something in front of my wife, and I was wrong. And I'm like, well, I thought I had a good idea, but I did not.
You said that, I had a fun fact. I did not.
I did not.
My wife's like, what is that from? And I'm like, I got to tell a story. And then she said, you guys are mean, and you need to stop that.
Thought I had a fun fact. I did not.
I had a like that moment with my wife the other day. That like that? Like that? Got run over like that?
Like that?
And Amanda's like, what are you talking about? It's like, never mind. I thought I had a funny saying. I did not.
Thought I had a fun fact. I did not.
And Jenny said, does he know he's talking about? You know, does he know that you guys are talking about him? I'm like, well, yeah, because then Lloyd then plays the drop.
Yeah, every time.
About 5 or 6 times.
This guy thought that he had a fun fact, but...
So did he end up losing then? Did somebody jump ahead of him?
Yes.
That's too bad.
Yes. He did, in fact...
I mean, he was smart. He put up 0 on
zero. He knew he wasn't going to know anything.
But still very funny. And Aaron Rodgers.
I've not had a chance to watch it. It's on the DVR.
He's very good, man. He's monotone. He's very Alec Trebek. I mean, he's basically...
It's almost like he's trying to do an impersonation of Alex.
Which I don't hate, because Trebek did it for so many years. And did it well. And he's probably looking at it like, I want people to kind of feel the spirit of Trebek in all this.
Yeah.
And you absolutely feel the spirit of Trebek when he's out there.
I saw another comment from him. He said, I can absolutely do this and still play football. And he wants to do it. Like, he's not mincing any words about it. He wants this gig. He wants it bad.
Yeah, he does.
And he said, look, I play football about, 150 days out of the year. This takes 46. They shoot 46 days out of the year. They tape 5 shows in each day. And that's how they produce their shows. And so he said, look, I can do both, and I want to do both. And if they give me the opportunity, I absolutely will do both.
But if I have to choose between the two, I will do Jeopardy.
You really think he'll just kick it to the curb and move on?
He's been in football long enough. He's healthy enough. He still has all his fine motor abilities. I would tell him it would be a wise choice to move out of the game.
Don't you think that's a smart idea, marketing-wise, for Jeopardy?
It's brilliant.
I mean, you have...
Especially when you've got a guy that's good at it and cares. This guy cares.
I mean, his care factor's through the roof.
Through the roof, man.
I already said he prepared more for this than he's ever prepared for a game.
Yeah, which I think is probably a little infuriating to a general manager and head coach. I'm sure LaFleur heard that.
He didn't lose the game. He didn't lose the game.
Maybe if you guys would have studied a little bit more, you wouldn't have kicked the field goal.
That's right.
I still can't believe they kicked that field goal.
I know.
I remember Eric Weddle coming on the next day and just being like,
oh, irate.
I don't understand how this happened. Yeah. Rightfully so.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Minnesota Viking cornerback Jeff Gladney, he was the 31st overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft, was arrested on Monday for an alleged domestic violence incident. Is accused of getting physical with a 22-year-old woman during a April 2nd argument over content in a cell phone. The altercation escalated, which time Mr. Gladney physically assaulted the victim. Mr. Gladney then left the location prior to the officer's arrival. The woman told the police Gladney freaked out over something on her phone, and at one point he tried shoving her face close to the screen to trigger the Face ID feature to unlock the phone. The accuser then claims Gladney escalated the violence, hitting her with closed fists, causing pain in the side of her ribs, in the stomach, and in the back, and hitting her open hand across the head. He turned himself into authorities on April 5th, was booked at the Dallas County Jail, where he posed for a mugshot and then bonded out a short time later. Remember, he was a star player at TCU, went on to start 15 games in his rookie season for the Vikings, logging 81 tackles, 3 PBUs, and a forced fumble.
Some of the details are left out of this. It got worse than that.
Yeah, I know.
It got quite a bit worse than that. And if there are witnesses, if there's film, film's always the best way to bring something like this to light for people to understand it. I'll never forget, a lot of things changed for me the day that Ray Rice video got released.
Yeah.
Because I remember having one opinion about Ray Rice and the situation, and then seeing the video and everything being changed. And then in my mind, I thought, from this point on, I have to look at these claims as if there is a video. I have to think of these claims as if there is a video. And I'm going to see a grown man punch, drag, hit, kick,
yep,
attack, assault a woman. I have to visualize that when I'm trying to put my opinion and thoughts together on it. And if there's a video out there of this, not only should Gladney never see a football field again, he shouldn't see freedom again for 10 years.
I agree with that for sure.
If these accusations are factual, because Gladney's a big man. as you mentioned, in his rookie year with the Vikings just last year, 81 tackles all over the field. Very physical player. Very good football player. This is not a small story. This is a huge story for the NFL. And we'll see if there were any personal accounts, any witnesses, any video. And if there is, it'll surface. And we'll continue to build our opinion on this.
Yeah.
I have not heard him state his innocence yet. Have you?
No. Nope.
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that from him or a representative.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
You know, if you're having a party and you're saying some things you're not supposed to say, you're probably doing some things you probably shouldn't be doing. For all you kids out there, don't do an Instagram Live on it. Just giving you a heads up on that.
And apparently all you adults out there.
And all you adults out there, yeah. I was just talking about, you know, some of the younger generation coming up needing to learn a thing or two. Paul Pierce's run with ESPN is over. The network is parting ways with the superstar just days after he posted a racy, a lot of racy things with a lot of scantily clad women on Instagram, said some things he shouldn't have said, did some things he shouldn't have done, and ESPN is saying, nuh-uh, having none of that. Spent the last 3.5 years with the network. He appeared on NBA Countdown, on The Jump as well, and his tenure at ESPN is now over.
Well, now you've got me curious. What was the video about?
I've not seen it.
Lloyd, what was the video about?
Oh, my! It wouldn't even let me pull it up here at work. Apparently, it's pretty bad.
Scotty, you didn't see any of it?
No, I just read the read some of the comments.
Well, is it just salacious things?
Things you probably shouldn't be doing. Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll probably have to go watch it.
Didn't break my heart though. I didn't think he was good.
I didn't think he was good either. I'm glad you said that.
A terrible analyst.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying the video.
No. That I don't know. I told you I couldn't click on it.
Yeah. Was he not a good analyst?
Oh, I thought he was terrible.
Yeah.
He was the worst of them, probably.
He was on NBA Countdown and The Jump. He was with them for 3.5 years. And now all of that is done. I don't think he's too upset about it. I saw a video and then a post that he put out where he's just laughing. It's not like the everyday, ordinary guy out there that just found out he lost his job and his world is collapsing in on him because he doesn't know what he's going to do with his life.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay.
Pretty sure Paul Pierce was calculated. I mean, maybe he was intoxicated. There was certainly quite a bit of alcohol in the video. At least
the
portion.
Did you see the video?
At least the portion I saw.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like you saw more than I saw, huh?
No. I just saw
it's
that
okay.
There was plenty of alcohol.
We're not judging you.
Yeah, no judgment at all.
Glassy eyes is what I saw.
Oh, yeah?
Right. Are you shaking your head?
No. Just glassy eyes. Paul Pierce, man.
Just be better, man. Just make better decisions.
And remember that, yes, it might be your Instagram, and yes, it might be your Facebook, but yes, it may reflect on how your employer feels about you.
100%. You have the right to post those videos, and your employer also has the rights to be able to say that's not somebody we want to be associated with, and it's time to move on.
Yeah, and that's what they did.
Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, 1142. Whole World News coming up next. Also, David Locke will join us at the top of the noon hour. We'll also get a golf update. The Masters is here. It is important probably for everybody to try to get studied up because we'll have another edition of a major pain in the butt. I was wondering, and I'm just throwing this out there, what if we invited one listener to participate with us in the major pain in the butt? And then we give them, I don't know, something
we let
from
them
the
pick at the very end, and they get to pick three golfers then.
Do we let them in on the draft?
Make them the last pick?
You got to let them in on the draft. You got to give them a chance.
No, there you go. Pick your three golfers.
After we've picked
After we've picked.
No.
Oh, come on.
Slim pickings. taking the top six off the board.
Yeah, there's some dark horses out there.
So, Scotty, what would be like what would be just some praise and adulation?
I'll have Johnny go into the prize closet and find something.
Get him some jazz gear.
Get him some jazz gear.
Bobblehead, maybe a Mitchell jersey.
The infamous paperweight.
What if we have Johnny serenade him at work with a guitar while he's sitting there working?
I kind of feel like Johnny should be involved in this.
Yeah.
I like it, Scotty. Let's do it. Let's add a listener tomorrow.
All right. Hands and Scotty.
Dive in the background, just play the guitar behind over his shoulder. I think that'd be awesome.
It'd be very nice. Very lovely.
Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. By the way, a little news on the Utah front. Ian Martinez, which was one of Larry Krzyzkowiak's big gets and a tremendous player for the University of Utah, really had all the skill set to be really special. He has now entered the portal. And so Craig Smith did not keep his dad, who was on staff with Larry Krzyzkowiak. He did not retain him. And so now Ian Martinez, I'm not saying that was the deal breaker for Martinez, but he will not be on the upcoming Utah staff. And now Ian Martinez is now in the transfer portal for the University of Utah.
Well, it makes me wonder how Craig Smith feels about everything that's going on.
If you're building your staff, you can't be held hostage by a kid saying, and look, I'm not saying this is the case. I don't know. But like at the end of the day, it's like, when we put this thing together back in 2012, when we merged a couple radio stations, we probably brought some, there were some people that were good fits and people that weren't great fits. And I'm not talking on-air guys. I'm talking, support staff and things like that. And I always thought, if we had a chance to do it over again, I'm going to go with my guys. Like, I'm going to go with the guys that I know and trust and I want to go into battle with. And sometimes, you've got to have that clean slate and you've got to say, look, I understand it might cost us in the short term, but I need to be able to trust my coaches on and that I have relationships with that I know can do good work for me. And I think that's the route they're going. Now, I don't know if that cost him Ian Martinez, but if it did, I still would do the same thing if I were Craig and saying, look, I got to go in with a group that I feel comfortable with.
They were doing a story on Scott Drew.
Yeah.
The
Baylor coach.
Baylor men's head coach. And they were talking about the way he came in, took over, the time it took, the unity it took, but also how he wanted to go to battle with his guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it took him a while to get the championship, but eventually that staff fought enough for each other, believed enough in each other, and they're able to get that championship. I agree with that. I agree with going to battle with the guys that you trust and that you know.
Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Take a quick break. Come back. Whole World News straight ahead.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated.
So, Chris, in the Western Conference, would you bet the Lakers or would you bet the field?
Assuming health, I'd still bet on the Lakers. I don't care if they're the number 10 seed and have to play in that play-in tournament to get in. I'd still bet on them. As long as you get 2 or 3 weeks of LeBron and Anthony Davis back in the mix, it's hard to bet against the Lakers. I'm not sold on the Clippers. It's still a team that has to show me mental toughness before I pick them to win anything. But the Lakers, to me, would still be the most formidable team out there, regardless of where they finish. It would almost be a shame for the Jazz if they finished the top seed to of staring down a healthy Lakers team in the first round of the playoffs. That would just probably be everybody's worst nightmare in Utah.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world. We got
Whole World News brought to you by Elite Works. Do you have a website? Does it suck? Does it bug you? Well, you can call Elite Works and they will rebuild that website for free. 844-523-2777. Look, there are no tricks here. They will rebuild it for free. You've heard a couple of different testimonies of people that have used EliteWorks to rebuild their company website, and it has blown them away. You know, you can run your payroll off your website. You've got a complete back panel where you can work a CRM. You can use anything for e-commerce if you're looking to buy or sell through your website. It really is beautiful. You've got a scheduler, a full scheduler. You can run different email and text campaigns through this website. It is the best software in the website industry. 844-523-2777. Get that website taken care of. Look, Lloyd, I don't know how many times you've had to wait in a fast food line.
It happens.
I do know. If it gets – what is the acceptable wait time in a fast food line? Is it
– Well, it's fast food, so it should be like a max of
– 5 minutes?
5 minutes. I feel like, I mean, it's fast food.
When it gets to 15 to 20 minutes, you know, you start to get irritated.
Yes.
Probably 15, 20.
Especially if you've made your order and you're like stuck, like there's nowhere you can go. You can't back out really. Or the only place you have to, that you can go is forward.
I think at 20 minutes, if you're at 20 minutes, I've had some fast food places at 20 minutes just give me the fast food for free. And they're like, hey, sorry for the wait. And I think that there's a way to keep people happy. Well, this particular situation happened in Memphis, Tennessee. Here's the news story coming from Memphis Channel 5 and what happened at a Burger King drive-thru.
Trying to get bad as everywhere now, though.
Eddie House is disappointed a woman is accused of shooting up a Hickory Hill Burger King Tuesday, but he's not surprised.
Some more security. More police in the area, probably help.
Memphis police are looking for this woman. We're told it all started when she got angry about how long she was waiting in the drive-thru for her food at Burger King on Winchester Road. Police say she got out of her car, walked up to the drive-thru window, started arguing with an employee, then began shooting.
I hate that they was impatient. Kids worked there, so, you know, that's the thing.
Surveillance video shows employees running for cover. No one was injured. And here is a shot of the shooter's car.
That's kind of messed up. I'm glad that everyone's okay.
I'm glad everybody's okay as well. And nobody was shot.
Considering they're kids that worked there.
Right.
Typically.
It's typically 16, 17-year-old kids that are.
Did you ever work fast food?
No. I worked in the food industry with my mom's business, but never worked fast food.
Oh, man. I did work at a place. Actually, it's not even around anymore. I did the training table.
Oh.
And it was.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough business.
Working in the food industry.
That's fast food.
At no point in a 20-minute wait, at no point even if it's a 30-minute wait. Look, I guess if it's just a rare occasion and you're sitting in a Burger King line and you hit 35, 40 minutes, you do not pull a gun, period. I don't care.
I'm not breaking out my six-shooter. No.
How bad you want your burger. And, yes, that did look like, you know, an old gun that would have been pulled on Indiana Jones at some point. Like, I don't know
in
where
the
this,
Last Crusade. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or where this woman got her gun. If I was working in that Burger King, I'd have looked at that gun and been like, that's not real. That's a squirt gun.
Yeah. I think it doesn't even work. It did work, though.
But, Scotty, I mean, you know, I understand. You 15, 20 minutes in a drive-thru, and you start to get irritated.
Yeah, especially if you can't get out of that drive-thru.
Yeah. You ask him the question you asked me. What's the time for waiting in line?
Yeah, what's the acceptable
time? If it's past 5 minutes, then you got a problem.
That's where we were at.
Yeah, we hit five minutes. We said 8 minutes, and you start to get a little antsy. I said anything that's in the 15 to 20-minute range, and it's like, give me the food for free, because this is absurd.
And you better throw me in some sort of dessert.
Yeah, throw in a couple of hot apple pies.
Yes. There would be something else in there.
Most of the time people try to be accommodating if it gets too long.
Yeah. But anything past 5 minutes. And the problem is sometimes you get in those drive-thrus and they have you boxed in. You can't sneak out.
On purpose.
Which is probably smart.
The eerie thing about this, and Lloyd, I don't know if you've seen the video that Burger King released of their surveillance video that they've got in that drive-thru window. She pokes her head through the window with that gun and starts pointing and shooting at people.
Jeez.
And looks right into the camera. Like, what are you going to do about it?
Jeez.
They don't know who this
fire right out the at the camera.
They don't know who this woman is. They're still looking for her. In fact, Memphis police just released a statement and said anyone who recognizes this shooter or her car, please call Crime Stoppers at 901-528-CASH.
That video is HD, by the way.
Yeah.
Like you like.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're gonna find her.
There's no way.
It's not blurry.
No, it's like Steven Spielberg was sitting right there with his camera crew.
It's like, oh, you got a scar right there. Oh.
They'll find her.
Yeah.
Is it Spielberg? Spielberg?
Sounds right.
Spielberg or
Spielberg?
Is it Spielberg or Spielberg?
Spiels manly.
Spiels, yeah. All right. High noon. Hands of Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.